This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So Jesus and the devil, or the adversary, they were in the middle of a disagreement. Imagine that. And the devil was claiming to be more talented than Jesus. And after the argument went on, I mean, imagine like two brothers fighting. Who's more talented? Finally, God comes down and descends and he says to intervene. And he said, okay, says God, I want you both to sit down and we're going to do a typing test. Because this is how the Holy Father likes to know who is the most talented. We're going to do a typing test. And so sitting at the separate computers, he says, let's see who can type the fastest. You have 1 hour. And so they sit at separate stations, and they're typing out a script that they had been given to see who could complete it the fastest. Jesus at one computer, and the devil at another computer, and God instructs them, ready, set, go. And so they both start typing very fast, and they both type very accurately. And everything is going fine until about 57 minutes in. And suddenly, boom, there's a crack of lightning, and the power goes out. Darkness descends on the room. Fortunately, however, the electricity is only out for a few seconds. But the devil stares at his screen as the power comes back on, and he gasps, oh no, it's all gone. How many of us have been there? I've lost all of my typing. I've lost all of my work. Meanwhile, Jesus hits print, and all the results of his typing come out on the printer, pages and pages. The devil looks at me, he's like, well, hold on a minute. How come, yells the devil, how come he still has all of his work? And God looks down at the devil and he replies, well, come now. We all know why. Jesus saves. So here we are today celebrating this fact that Jesus saves. And what exactly is Jesus saving us from? Well, I like to think that it's more than what happens after we die. That what Jesus is doing in the resurrection, A, if there wasn't a resurrection, if someone who had died and been crucified hadn't suddenly went missing from the tomb, we might not still be talking about Jesus 2,000 years later. So this event happened, and now yet we still don't know. We know that the women have gone to the tomb, it's empty, but the disciples don't know yet. Meanwhile, they're probably mourning. Their best friend has just died in a terrible, horrific way. And they're locked in, we'll hear in weeks to come, they're locked into a room trying to figure out what in the world to do next. They spent 3 years with this man who has taught them so many wonderful things, a new way of being, a new way of existing in the world. But we know the rest of the story already. And that's what we celebrate on Easter Day. So why does it matter? Well, many will say, and I don't disagree, but many will say that it matters because of what happens when we die. Jesus saves, so that when we die, we can go into eternal life in heaven with the angels, with the singing choruses. But there's more that this day represents for all of us. It represents new life right here, right now. You see, the resurrection represents overcoming the challenges that we all face in our daily life. It overcomes the challenges as we grow up as teenagers, those young adulthood years, which are a lot of fun, but man, are we lost. Those early years of careers and parenthood, those years of empty nest when the kids leave, or we're starting to look at our career and thinking, is this really what I want to do the rest of my life? And then we enter into those middle years where we start to think about retirement, hopefully. Retirement so we can go take care of the grandkids, right? I know some of you can relate to that. And then we come to the other side where we're looking at the rest of our life. And the resurrection represents all of the challenges that we face in each of those parts of our life. For everybody, doesn't matter how old or how young, the challenges that we all face, the resurrection represents new life that Jesus provides through each of those. This symbol up here, this cross, Jesus took a symbol that represented death and turned it into a symbol that reminds us of hope. So when we see the cross, when we wear the cross, the hope is that we are reminded, yes, we are reminded that Jesus died for us, but Jesus died for us so that we could really and truly have life. Life right now, right here, today. Not some distant future, necessarily, the unknown, but right here, right now, today. New life. And every day we wake up in the morning and we get to try again. Because Lord knows we're going to mess it up. Or maybe I'm just talking to myself. So what this new life looks like, well, that's what we have Holy Scripture for. And even in Isaiah today, we hear there's a new beginning. I am going to make things, all things new. Every day that we encounter the Lord, we are making all things new, both in our life and hopefully it bleeds out into the world around us. And when we make those mistakes, we are forgiven. And Jesus says, let's try again. I need a lot of let's try agains. And so this journey is about transformation. What Jesus wants for us is for us to experience the true life that God wishes, not necessarily, not confined by the demands of the world. So they say that those years that I was talking about when you're working on your career, right, those 30s, 40s, those are some of the most stressful, and something happens when you get over the hill. Well, all that stuff doesn't seem to matter as much anymore. Well, Jesus wants us to live on the other side of the hill now. For us to be able to embrace the things that matter: love, charity, kindness, tenderness, joy, mercy, justice. To live without fear, to live without guilt. To live in joy every day, all the time. And it takes time. And every day we're reminded that it takes time. And now some of you who have heard the last couple weeks, I don't know why, but I keep talking about my chickens. I have some chickens and we have baby chicks now. But this is a different bird, so it's not my chickens again, but it is a bird. So we have a lantern that hangs on our front porch. Right, like many of us do, right? It's kind of old, look cool looking, I think. The neighbors probably don't agree necessarily, but it hangs there. And every year, this little sparrow comes and makes a nest in it. And every year I say, next time I'm not going to let it do that. Because you can imagine a bird with baby birds, what's underneath it, right in front of my door? A pile of poop. Just little birdie poop all over. Well, of course, the eggs have hatched now, and there are baby birds, and so I was showing my oldest daughter, she was by yesterday, and I was trying to show her the baby birds, like, no, you can see its tail sticking out, right? See the bird? So I grabbed a stick, and I was going to, like, just get it to move so she could tell what it was, and the bird, one of the birds flew out of the lantern and into the house. And so we were like, whoa, and so we had to go look for the bird. And now my house isn't that big, so there weren't, but it disappeared. And I have to tell you, the dog and the cat were no help at all. And we could not find the bird. So we're looking and looking. Of course, we're looking high because we're thinking it flew. And after several minutes, I mean, we were about to give up. We're like, well, I don't know. I guess eventually it'll make a noise or something. And I sat down on the couch and I saw this little tiny thing under the bookcase. And so it was on the ground being very quiet under the bookcase, scared. So I went under, and you know the tale about if you touch a baby bird, then the mother won't come back. You know, that's not really necessarily true, but I had no choice. So I went and I grabbed the bird, you know, and I was holding it. It was so cute, right? It had some of its new wings. But what I noticed is that its hair was really funny looking. So it still had its baby fluff, right, little fluff, and then these wiry little hairs sticking out all over. It hadn't fully transformed into its bird. It had some wings, but it was kind of ugly, this cute little bird. And as I was walking to the door, I was like, look, Maddie, look how funny his little head looks. And, you know, we went out to the porch and I raised it up to the light and tried to coax it back into the nest. And I thought, this is the journey. I look like that baby bird, trying to figure it out, flying in the wrong direction, getting upset, hiding under the bookcase. I've got some points towards Jesus coming out of me, some things that look good. I've got some wings that have grown out. I've got a tail that kind of looks nice. I mean, I'm growing into my life with Jesus Christ, but I'm not there yet. I'm not fully grown yet. And I thought, we're all in the same boat. We're all on this journey. We're all in different stages of this journey. But the important thing is that we're on the journey. And whether we're the brand new baby chick where all of its fluff is the same, or we're the bird that's trying to find its way that looks a little wiry and scared, or whether we're fully grown and have all of our feathers and building our own nest and making a mess in other ways, we're all on this journey together. And this, my friends, is what Easter is about. It's to celebrate that journey with one another and with Jesus Christ. Now, if I have children, I would like for you to come forward. I have a little story for children, a little sermon illustration, we might say. If you're not too shy, you could come forward. Children that are old enough to walk. Yes? Adults who would like to come forward for the children's sermon. Just come on up, Maya. It will be real quick. Come on up. Oh, that's for me. Thank you. Beautiful. You want to sit up here? And I'm going to just do a little quick story. Hi, come on up. Come on up. It's good to see you. Come on up. Hey, Hamilton. Come on up. All right, let's see. I got something over here. Oh, thanks. Okay, do you guys know what this is? Do you guys know what this is? It is a car. It looks like just a boring old car, yes? Maybe a taxi. Well, it's also something else, and you may have heard of this. Let's see what the car can do. Oh, we can pull it apart. How did you know, Maya? It is a transformer. It's transforming. If Reverend Christie could figure it out. Y'all, I played with this all night. I still don't know how to do it. Oh, there's the head. We got that part. Let's see. We need some arms. Some arms. So I use this illustration because, look, it's transforming. Look at that. And it transforms into this guy called Bumblebee. You guys don't know, just so you know, it's a Bumblebee. And it has legs and arms, and now, rather than just being a car, it's actually a powerful hero. So one of the interesting things I was thinking about this is the illustration for all of us. We're all continually being transformed by Jesus. Now, the interesting thing is, when I ordered this online, I thought it was like one step. It's 23 steps. It took me half an hour, and then I found the instructions. But I thought that was even better illustration. 23 steps, however many steps it takes to be transformed into the powerful, wonderful, good heroes that Jesus wants us to be. Maya, since you know what it was, I'm going to let you have this one. Yeah. So thank you all. Go ahead and sit down. So let us all be transformed in the power of Jesus. Amen.